Really manage out your detriment with me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll catch you afterwards. The brief time that we have a mitzvah to fulfill, because there is a event in this week's parsha which may constitute a kiyum of a mitzvah min haTorah to talk about it. So that's perhaps what we should focus on. At the very end of the parsha, we're told about an episode with Miriam, which is the most explicit reference in the Torah, really, to the idea that Lashon Hara has this consequence of tzaras. We know that we have Parshas Tezri and Mitzora, which give us great details about that whole phenomenon. And we know that we have a tradition that that is associated with Lashon Hara, but it's not explicit in the Parshios over there. Chazal tell us that Mitzora is a contraction of Motzi, Shei, and Gra, but we don't find explicitly in the Psukim references to Lashon Hara. And there are also other Averis that Chazal bring in that context. But in this week's parasha, it's explicit. Here we have that Miriam speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, and immediately there's a consequence, there's a clear cause and effect that the Torah is portraying as far as that's concerned. And that makes the point stronger than anything that we have in Parshat Tezri or Mitzora. And Chazal call attention to it, and the Torah itself comes back in Parshas Kisetze and tells us that we have a mitzvah to remember this week's parsha. And also tells us that Hishamer Benega HaTzaras, that we have to be careful regarding tzaras, which that gets interpreted a number of ways. The Gemara has some different points of focus over there, but some of the Rishonim actually quote that as a mocker for the Issur Lashon Hara, that if we assume there's a correlation between the two, you speak Lashon Hara, you get tzaras. So the Torah is telling you, beware of tzaras, don't get yourself in tzaras situations, that's a directive about Lashon Hara as well. So when it comes to those two statements in Kiseitse, it all brings us back really to this week's Parsha as a directive. And the Ramban writes in his commentary to Chumash, and also in his Hasagas to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Ramban writes that there are a few mitzvahs the Rambam seems to have forgotten. And one of them, ironically, two of them are about remembering. And this is one of them, that there's a mitzvah to remember what happened with Miriam, and that is something we have to find a way to keep on our consciousness. So there's a lot to try to figure out about that. Some of the Mefarshim point to the irony here, perhaps, that we remember the Issur Lashon Hara by speaking negatively about Miriam, and others suggest that this is a tremendous chus to her, that we should use the learning from her experience to try to be more careful about this very tricky area of life. But I think we also should call attention to the fact that it's not just about Lashon Hara as a concept, but it's also what it tells us about the Issur Lashon Hara, because I think there's a lot that we miss when we talk about this particular Issur. And it's important to appreciate the fact that this story of all the stories is highlighted as really the clearest example of the cause and effect of Lashon Hara in the Chumash itself. In Chazal, we have more. Chazal tell us that just about everything that's gone wrong in our history can be tied to Lashon Hara at one point or another. One of them, very much so, is connected to the next week's Parsha juxtaposition. The fact that we're going to read about the Meraglim next week, and that is clearly associated. And Chazal draw the connection. Maybe we'll talk about that also. But here we have the most glowing red flag here, saying, look at this episode and learn from it. So one thing that I think we can learn is one of the most significant lessons about how we appreciate the concept of Lashon Hara today. And I think it's important to call attention to it. When we talk about the Issur of Lashon Hara, so the Rambam breaks it down into a couple of categories. He has four categories, and two of which we'll focus on here, Lashon Hara and Motzi Shem Ra. And the Chafetz Chaim uses these categories also. And they're useful categories, but I think they sometimes get misunderstood. So it's important to appreciate just what exactly they're telling us. So we learn in elementary school that what is the difference between Lashon Hara and Motzi Shem Ra? say that Lashon Hara is actually not false. They say Lashon Hara is true. And that you should know that you're not allowed to say things even if they're true. And it's Motzi Shemra that's false. Motzi Shemra is what correlates with what we would call in English legal terminology slander, or a libel if it was written down. So they make up something false about somebody, that's slander. But in the legal world, so truth is a defense to slander. If you're telling the truth, it's not going to be slander. So we know that in halacha, truth is not a defense in this area, at least doesn't seem like it, and that it's still a prohibition of lashon hara if it's true. And the way it's often formulated is that it's exclusively lashon hara if it's true. And it's only when it's true that it's lashon hara. And that if it's false, that's what we call motzi shemra. So whether or not that's the only way to understand the chiluk, it's not necessarily the case. Other Rishonim or Ben Yona understood the distinction differently. Svarim earlier and later understood the distinction differently. It's not clear from the Gemara that that is the distinction. It sounds like from most languages in the Gemara that Lashon Hara includes things that are true and false. And it sounds like it's more often applying to things that are false. But what I think we miss is that to understand what it means when we say that Lashon Hara is true, well, what do we mean when we're saying that? And sometimes you see very immature versions of this. So, for example, if you have elementary school kids who are fighting and one accuses the other of Lashon Hara, so the other one will say, oh, so you're admitting it's true, because if it wasn't, you'd say Motzi Shemra. So that is not a very mature perception of what's going on. That when we say Lashon Hara is true, we don't mean that it's 100% factual. As far as I understand it, what we mean is that, assuming even within this distinction of the Rambam and the Chafetz Chaim, but even working within that, I think what they mean is that Motzi Shemra is complete slander. To just make up utter fiction, that's Motzi Shemra. Lashon Hara is built on truth, but it doesn't mean that it's actually correct. And there's a whole host of reasons why what you're saying, you might think it's true, but it's not, or it's not accurate. It's not correct as far as the picture that it presents. You might be saying something factual, but the picture that's being painted is an unfair picture. And it can be unfair for so many reasons. It could be it's a partial truth. It could be it's a mistake. It could be it's a subjective statement. It could be it's an opinion. It could be that it simply doesn't paint the whole picture. So there's a whole host of reasons why something you say may not be fiction, may not be Motzi Shemra in the usual sense that you could sue somebody for slander, but it doesn't mean that it's correct either. And that, I think, is a crucial point, because it's sometimes very difficult to understand. So why should the Torah prohibit Lashon Hara if it's true? What's wrong with saying something that's true? Why should a person's reputation be protected artificially? What's the point in a reputation if everyone's going to be just protected by the Sisu Lashon Hara? So I think it's important for us to appreciate that when we say Lashon Hara is true, we don't really assume that it's conveying the absolute truth, a fair picture in the end of the day. And in fact, the Rebbe Chanan suggests at one point in one place that if you could say something that was completely true and would be received by the listener exactly proportionately and accurately and without any unfair impact, then maybe we wouldn't have an Isser. But the Isser itself we have to have, because it's so hard for people to actually convey the full picture. It's even harder for people to appreciate the whole picture. It's harder on the listener, and I think that's why the Rambam says the surprising statement when he talks about this one speaking and the one being spoken about, and the Makabel, and the Rambam has this language, Makabelo Yosem and Omro, that the Makabel is on some level worse than the speaker. What does that mean? I think what it means is that he's getting even less of a true picture than the speaker. It's very hard. Psychologists have documented what they call the teller-listener effect, that whatever frailties and whatever inadequacies we have in terms of our own perception of the truth, when we try to tell that to somebody else, they're going to get even less. And we can all relate to that, right? Somebody's telling you a long story, and you're thinking, I don't have patience for the details, and I'm not really listening carefully, but whatever, I get it, he did something bad. You don't necessarily give it the fair attention. I think we can all relate to that in our lives. So especially when you say there's an Isser Kabbalah Lashon Hara, which the Gemara tells us quite clearly that there is in Maran Pesachim and elsewhere, in Shabbos, it's unquestionable there is an Isser Kabbalah Lashon Hara. So Nida, it's all over Shas. So people think the Chafetz Chaim invented these things. It's not, these are definitely explicit Gemaras. So we say there's an Isser Kabbalah Lashon Hara, so it becomes even harder to relate to. And so if Lashon Hara really meant something was true, so then you're not allowed to be makabel, it means we're telling you not to believe the truth. Why should we do that? What kind of a system do we have here? So presumably that's not what we mean. And what we mean is that even if it starts off factual, it's not the whole truth. It has elements that might be true, but the picture that's being presented is incorrect for reasons that range from mistake to memory failure to subjectivity and beyond. And part of where we have a little bit of a misplaced education, I think, is if I were to tell you some bad story about somebody or some negative sounding fact, so then we'd all know it's Lashon Hara, don't say it. But if we all knew the fact, right? If I were to say that Yehusiel didn't come to shir today, so you might think, okay, that's Lashon Hara maybe. But if we all know Yehusiel's not here, then we start speculating on why he's not here. So now we feel we're allowed to do it. Okay, you already know about it, so we can talk about it. But Adarabba, that's the Iker Lashon Hara. The speculating is the real Aveira. And it's the spin that you put on it that's the Iker Aveira. So it's true that we shouldn't convey this negative fact because we have such a hard time keeping our subjectivity and our negative interpretations out of it. But that's making the tuffle the ikker, to think that we can say the negative fact or we can say the interpretations as long as we're not saying the negative fact. That's the opposite of how it should be. It's really about the interpretation. And the reason we shouldn't say the fact is because of the subjective interpretation. So how do you know that? It's Beferish in this week's Parsha. That's what was going on with Miriam, even though there's some room to quibble about this, but it certainly seems, certainly by the Chafetz Chaim sees it and others, that what Miriam did, she wasn't telling Aaron a fact that he didn't know. They all understood what happened, and they were discussing what they thought of it. And this is what the Chafetz Chaim writes, that they failed to be Dam L'Chavz Chus. So the whole paradigmatic episode of the Isser Lashon Hara in the Torah, it's not about relaying a episode that happened. It's about the interpretation. That is the Isser Lashon Hara. And we so easily forget that. And it's fascinating to say quickly, there's a whole lumdus, but there is an opinion based on the Gemara and expressed by others, and the Maral has this opinion, that there's no Isser Lashon Hara if the person is present. So we could talk about that at a different time, whether that's correct or not, l'halacha. But the Chafetz Chaim, he quotes the Maral, and he says, how could it be? There's a Medrash, which would really flip our mental vision of reading this week's Parsha. But according to one Medrash, Moshe was in the room at the time of this conversation. I don't think that's how we picture it when we think about this conversation. But according to one Medrash, Moshe was in the room. So says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a Beferish against the Maral. Here's the Iker Lashon Hara. And even though Moshe's in the room, it's still Lashon Hara. So Rav Huttner has an essay in a Sefer on Shavuos, and a number of others do also. A lot of the intellectual descendants of the Maral all have similar approaches. But they basically say there's two dinim in Lashon Hara. It says if you're saying a fact about someone, so then it was just a fact. So then if the person's there, maybe then that wouldn't be Lashon Hara. Maybe that's what the Maral means. Because the person can, let's say, presumably that's what he means, the person can respond, the person can correct the fact or address it. But if you're saying your interpretation of something, so then says the Maral and all the says Rav Huttner and all the others, that it doesn't matter if the person's there. And you can understand why if you think about it, because if I'm going to put a negative spin on what you're doing, it can never be disproven because it's not objective in the first place. If I say Yehusiel didn't come to shir today, so then Yehusiel's right there. You can say, no, I was there. What are you talking about? And here's my notes from today. But if I say that Yehusiel came to shir today, but he wasn't really paying attention and he didn't really care about it, and he was thinking insulting thoughts about the Rebbe the whole time. So what's he going to say, right? He could shrei chai v'kayim, and he's not going to be able to argue with my interpretation. So that, says Futner and all the others, so then that type of lashon hara doesn't even matter if a person is there. It's so harmful. There's nothing that he can even do. So to think about the fact that this is the example the Torah gives us of lashon hara, and this is what the Ramban tells us to remember. What the Ramban says is a real mitzvah. I think it's a very crucial point. And it's fascinating also, because if a mitzvah is, like the Ramban says, to keep us away from lashon hara, so you might say, so why is lashon hara so lucky? Why does lashon hara get a special mitzvah? There's all kinds of averis in the Torah, and there are stories about people who violate the averis and get punishments. We'll read about the Mekosha Sheitzim soon, right? He's Machal Shabbos and was punished for it. There's no mitzvah to remember him. Why is there a mitzvah specifically to remember the story of Miriam and lashon hara? And the point seems to be because lashon hara is uniquely complicated. If you want to remember not to eat non-kosher foods, all you have to do is when you're hungry, you check to see the hashgacha, you check to see if the food is kosher or not. You don't need to constantly be aware of that. But if you want to make sure that you're not going to hurt somebody through how you think about them and talk about them and interpret them, it takes a lot of practice. That's not something that happens automatically. And how do you know? Look at Miriam. And here you can look at the Rambam, even though it doesn't count it as a mitzvah. But look at the Rambam, Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says, look at Miriam. Miriam was a tzaddikus. And Miriam loved the person she was talking about. And Miriam meant well. She was trying to help. And she had everything in her favor. And still Miriam messes up. So what hope is there for the rest of us? The answer is, what hope for us is that we study this week's parasha, that we remember the episode of Miriam, and we're able to keep that in our consciousness. That's going to make a difference. And that could be what Chazal mean in the beginning of next week's parasha. Next week's parasha, Parasha Shlach, Rashi quotes at the very beginning, why is Miriam juxtaposed to the Meraglim? In order to teach us that, look at Miriam, she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, and she got punished. Rishayim Halalu, these Rishayim, the Meraglim, Hayulahem Likach Moshe, they should have learned the lesson. So it sounds like it's a Kal V'chomer, like what she did was bad, what they did was worse. That's very hard to understand, because she spoke about a human being with feelings. One would think that that's worse. And Chazal said that beforehand. The Gemara in Erechin says that you want to know how bad Lashon Hara is, look at the Meraglim. They spoke about the land, they ate some avanim, and they got in trouble. We speak about a person with feelings, Kal V'chomer. That's so much worse. So what is Rashi getting at? I think what Rashi is getting at is this point, that if you want to deal with this negativity, if you want to address this issue, you can't wait until the moment. You have to start practicing. You have to start cultivating a awareness that's going to allow you to be careful and to not say the wrong thing and to not bring the wrong interpretation. So the Meraglim, they missed the whole point. That they saw what happened to Miriam, and what takeaway should they have gotten from that? The takeaway they should have gotten was that we have to start working. We have to start practicing. And to immediately go and indulge that negativity, that was a complete betrayal of the whole message. That was a complete missing of the whole point. So it's crucial for us that we take this message of Miriam. And there's so much more to say about this, but I apologize that we're in a short time frame. We'll have to find other opportunities. But to be able to internalize this awareness and to recognize just how powerful this ability is to create a reality through our interpretation and just how much that's our responsibility is one of the lasting and profound lessons which ultimately should be a schus for our revered Miriam. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. It should be only good things. See you soon.